Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. 18 years now we have been coming to you, and we thank the Lord for this radio station. Thank the Lord for all the prayers, the support, and most of all for you, the listener. Many of you have been with us for all of those 18 years, and we thank God for that. We thank the Lord for those of you who are new today, and we invite you also to come every week and enjoy these messages and enjoy worshiping and praising the Lord through His Word here on Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation, and so this is a fundamental subject that everybody needs to know, the basics of salvation. Are you saved? How do you know if you're saved? If you're not saved, how can you get saved? And all of these issues and questions are foremost on many people's minds. And so today we're going to go through the basics. We're going to look at a lot of different scripture that talks about salvation and what it actually means to be saved. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Luke chapter 18. We'll start there in verse 15 here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. And before we get into the message today, just want to give a brief update on what's going on over here in Africa. I'm in Kenya today, and we're expecting hot weather, 85 degrees and clear skies, and so it's going to be a beautiful day. We're ready to harvest our maize from the fall harvest. We're going to be starting on that Monday, and that'll take 3 or 4 days to do that. Other than that, the children are all home from school. They're in the term break, they call it. In January, they're going to be starting a whole new year, a whole new term, and so that will be coming up in January. We're going to need lots of money for school fees, so if the Lord puts it on your heart to help with school fees, that would be a great thing to do this month to help get these children back in school. And the 19th of December is going to be a big day. As I spoke, it's going to be the 5th anniversary celebration of our Living Water Church of Makunda, and this is a miracle church. We planted this church 5 years ago, and we've got now about 85 or 90 adult members, many children, probably 50 to 60 children on a weekly basis. And so we're looking forward to a great day that day. We've invited in several other churches and their congregations. We've also planning to do a crusade at the end of that day. And so that's going to be a great celebration, a great day. We invite you to support that in your prayers and in your financial giving to this ministry. Well, today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation. And this is a big, big subject. Of course, the whole world is in the grip of the evil one, is in the grip of the devil. But Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but never mind, I have overcome the world. And so you can know the kingdom of God. You can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can know His plan for your life, His destiny for your life, your individual calling, your individual unique destiny, that God made you on this earth for a particular reason. He created you for a particular purpose, a particular calling. And so you can know all that, but it starts with salvation. It starts with coming to the Lord Jesus. It starts with knowing Him in a personal way, not just in a religious way. It's not about religious tradition or ritual. And so this is very important that you understand it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you have to come to Him, you have to know Him, you have to receive Him, accept Him, and we're going to look at all the details of that in this message. So in Luke 18, verse 15, the Lord says, you must come to me as a child. And I would say that's the first prerequisite to salvation. And in verse 15, it says, then they brought infants to Jesus that He might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. In verse 16, but Jesus called them to Him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, for such as these children is the kingdom of heaven. And verse 17, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. And so that is the first prerequisite. You have to come as a child. You have to come with the innocence of a child. In other words, get down, get low, get rid of your pride, and then you can receive the salvation that God has for us. You can receive that kingdom that God has for you. And so this is very important. And so Jesus continually in his ministry exalts children, and we do too. That's the reason that Living Water, we have the children's home out there. We believe in helping children. We believe in taking care of children. We believe in helping children find their destiny and their calling, and teaching them the good way of Jesus Christ, teaching them the principles of the kingdom of God. And so it's important. You have to get rid of your pride. Jesus said that pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit is one of the things that God hates, one of the six things, Proverbs 6:16, one of the six things that God hates is a haughty spirit. And so you have to get rid of your pride, and you get low, you get down, just on the level with a child. And so children believe, children have faith, they accept things that are told to them, they receive things that are told to them, they don't have a lot of pride. That usually comes later in life. And so that is the first prerequisite. You have to come as a child. Well, in Matthew 18, verse 2, Jesus says the same thing basically here in the book of Matthew. Then Jesus called a little child to himself, and he set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so there again, he's saying, unless you are converted, unless you are humbled as a child, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And it's so true in adulthood that many people get so much pride about their career, about their money, about their job, their house, their whatever, their family, their hobby, and they get so much pride and they get so wrapped up in themselves they can't see anything else. And Jesus said, you have to humble yourself and you have to be converted as a child, and then you will see the kingdom of heaven. And so again, humble yourself. And most of the time when people get broken in life, they get broken through divorce or bankruptcy or some financial difficulties or sickness breaks a lot of people, sickness and pain. People get broken because they cry out in pain to the Lord. That's the time when it is most opportune, or when a person is most easily converted and can come into the kingdom as a child when they're actually an adult. And so the longer you put it off, if you're an adult listening to me today, the longer you put it off and the more established you get in your pride, the more established you get in your religion, in your thinking that you can take care of all your problems yourself, you can take care of all the issues in your life yourself, and the more you get established in that way of thinking, the more difficult it is to come to the Lord as a child, and the more difficult it is to be converted and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're listening to me today and you have that pride about you, that you have life pretty well under control, you can handle it, you've got the money, you've got the resources, you've got the job, you've got whatever, humble yourself and receive the words of God today that you have to come as a child and be converted. Well, the Father's plan, that is Father God, for salvation was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to take the sins of the world upon his shoulders. He did that at the cross, the crucifixion. He took the sins of the world upon his shoulders, and he shed his perfect, precious blood for the sins of all mankind. Matthew 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And this was the Father's plan from the beginning of time, even before Adam and Eve were in the garden. God had a plan. He knew that man would have the propensity or the tendency to sin. He knew that man would listen to the evil one, listen to the devil coming as a serpent, and he knew that there would be the propensity, the possibility that man would sin. And so God had a plan that he had already established and spoken into existence from the beginning, and that was to send his perfect, precious Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to take the sins of all mankind. And Matthew 18:14, it says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should perish." He's talking about children again, but of course it applies to all people, to all adults, to people of every age. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should perish." And so it's not God's will that anybody should perish. That's one of the great things about going into the prison to preach. It is not God's will that any person in prison should perish, no matter what they've done. It doesn't matter if they've murdered. It doesn't matter if they've been a thief or a liar or a con man their whole life. God has a plan for them, and it is not his will that even one of them should perish. And so that is the reason Jesus went to the cross, even for the most despicable, the most disgusting, the most hardened criminals, the most vile people of anybody that you can imagine. God sent his Son, Jesus, to the cross to die for them and shed his blood for them. The Lord is very patient, Peter tells us, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. And so Peter said, God is patient. He's patient with me. He was very patient with me. He is patient with you. He'll be patient with your children. It is his plan that everyone should come to a place of repentance. And repentance means that you come to a knowledge of your sin. You come to an acknowledgement of your sin. And you come to a point of realization that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior, that you need someone to cover your sins or to make a payment for your sins, and that you need to get back in right standing with God. And so our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from God's plan for our life. And so when we start dealing with our sin, when we come to the place of knowing that we are a sinner and realize that we are separated from God and we want to get back in a right standing, a righteous standing, and a clean conscience, a clear conscience, and get back in that good standing with God, we realize that we cannot pay for our sins, that the payment for our sins must come from some other place outside of ourselves, because we are tainted, we are defiled, we are polluted, and so we can't pay for our sins. That's where Jesus Christ, death on the cross, then comes in to pay for our sins. Well, in John 3:14, I'm sure all of you know this scripture here. John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, be lifted up." And verse 15, "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 16, this scripture you should know by heart. If you don't, spend time, learn it, memorize it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so God sent his only begotten Son because he was the only, as God looked around, Jesus Christ was the only payment that could be made. That was a perfect payment. His blood was perfect. His sacrificial blood, the atonement for our sin, was perfect in every way. He had no blemish. He had no defilement. His Father, Jesus Christ's Father, was the Holy Spirit. and his mother, the Virgin Mary. And so Jesus Christ was born as a perfect child. He was born as the Son of God. The Son of Man also was the Son of God. And so God sent his only begotten Son to pay for the sins of the world. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so that was the plan. It is still the plan 2,000 years later now, almost 2,000 years after Jesus went to the cross. That is still the plan today. Again, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to have another day. You don't know if you're going to have another month or a year. People die every day of illness. People die every day of accidents and all kinds of crazy things, crime they never would have imagined as they get up and go about their day. And so today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, accept him today. Repent of your sins. Turn from your wicked ways and make this the day of your salvation. Well, you must believe. John 3:18, he who believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so if you have not believed, if you've not confessed, you still have that condemnation on you, that condemnation that comes from the fallen world, that we live in a fallen world and we are tainted, we are polluted by our sin. And so the only escape, the only way out of this situation, the only way that we can be reconciled back to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he who believes in him is not condemned. Well, dealing with sin, we've talked a lot about sin. Sin is separation from God. Sin is death. Sin is when you do something that is out of the will of God, and not only sins of commission, but sins of omission. We sometimes omit things that we know are right to do, and we don't do them because we're too stubborn or we're too prideful, and we don't want to go out of our way. We don't want to submit to the will of God. And then we also commit sins that are willful, intentional, and vile, and have malicious intent. And so that is sin, and it has to be dealt with. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so every single person has sinned. You have sinned. You've stolen. You've cheated. You've lied. I have sinned. And every single person on the face of the earth, no matter how good you think you are, you may be a good person. You may be a good community worker, a good family man, person that stays out of trouble. Praise God, I hope that's you. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're just a good person and that's all. You're not a saved person. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order for the plan of God to be active and completed in your life. Well, Romans 10:4 tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And this is a referral to the Old Testament laws, not just the Ten Commandments, but many other laws that the Jews lived by in the Old Testament. And we also live by them. Every country lives by laws. Some more respectfully, some more diligently and obediently than others. Some countries are very lawless, and yet we all try to live by laws. Without laws, there would be complete chaos and disorder and anarchy in any country. And so countries try to live by laws. They enact laws. They all have legislatures. They all have Congress. They all have parliaments. Try to enact laws to keep the citizenry under control, to keep the order in the citizenry so that there's some measure of order, some measure of peace and calm in the country, economic prosperity. This all comes about by law. But the law cannot save you. It didn't save the Jews, because no matter how hard they tried to keep the law, it couldn't save them. They all were lawbreakers, and there aren't enough police to keep everybody under control, and people don't have the self-will, the self-discipline to stay out of trouble and break laws. And so we're all lawbreakers in a way. Well, the Bible says that in Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law. He is the fulfillment of all the laws of the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment, actually, of every law ever passed on the earth, because through Christ, you can have reconciliation back to God. You don't have to try to keep every law that every nation tries to pass. You can get back to God. You can be reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, once you realize you're a sinner, once you realize that you need a Savior, that you can't make the payment for your sin, that you can't be reconciled to God, then you need to make a confession of faith. And Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. That's verse 11 in Romans 10. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so your confession is extremely important. Your confession is vital. It is essential that you open your mouth, you speak, and you speak what you believe in your heart. And the Bible says that the words of your mouth are the overflow of what's in your heart. In other words, what you're speaking on a daily basis is coming from your heart. And so we confess that we love the Chiefs, or we love the Broncos, or we confess that we love chicken fried steak or whatever. So you confess also that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. You use your tongue, you use your mouth, and from your heart you say and you speak and you confess, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Because if you confess and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And why is it important that you believe that God raised him from the dead? It's because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after he made the payment for our sin, that blood payment that he made by his death on the cross, he was in a tomb and he was resurrected. He proved to the world that he had power over the power of death. He had power to defeat the sting of death, and that the devil no longer had power over death. The devil no longer had authority to keep us in the power of death, that Jesus Christ defeated that authority of the devil, and he took the sting out of death. And so we too will be resurrected at some point in time at the rapture. Those who are already in the earth and have already passed away or passed on, they will be resurrected. Their bodies will be resurrected. And those of us who are alive and remain, we will also be taken up with those who have gone before us, and we will all be with the Lord for all eternity. That is in our resurrection body. And so your confession is extremely important. That's why we have altar calls. That's why we invite people to come forward, make a confession of faith, and speak what they believe in their heart. Speak out so people know where they stand on the person and the issue of Jesus Christ. Well, Matthew 10:32 also talks about the confession. Therefore, whoever confesses me, these are the words of Jesus, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so Jesus said, your confession is your guarantee that Jesus will be an advocate for you when you get to heaven. After you die, after you take your last breath here on this earth, after your eyes close here on this earth, your soul and your spirit will go to heaven or hell, one of those two places, depending on your confession of faith. And if you go to heaven, Jesus will be there, and the angels will bring your soul and your spirit. They will guide you to heaven, and you will be there for all eternity, rejoicing with Jesus and rejoicing in your new eternal home that actually can begin here on this earth when you make your confession of faith and you repent of your sins and you turn from your wicked ways. Your new eternal life then begins at that time. And then you follow up that confession with Christian baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of what has taken place in your heart. You're showing the world that you are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:3 says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life." Or in other words, we also shall be resurrected into newness of life. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." And so it's very important to be baptized. Find a church. If you're not in a church, find a church that believes in immersion baptism, that believes in preaching the gospel right out of the good word, the good Bible that God has given us. Get baptized, make your confession of faith, get started on your Christian walk, and know with 100% certainty that you are saved, that you are born again, and God will bless you. Let us know if you make that decision. PurePrayer@Hotmail, email me, we'll get you some literature, get you started on your new walk, your resurrected life, your eternal life in Christ Jesus. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, include any prayer requests that you have, and we will be happy to communicate with you, to contact you. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.